You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
We are taking our paper routes through time.
What are you doing in my house?
What are you doing in my house?
I live here. No, I live here.
And learning to start over.
Everyone at a certain point has experienced been on either side of a breakup.
I'm Jared Hall from Entertainment Weekly, and here's what to watch this weekend, July 29th through July 31st. We are counting down the weekend's top five must-see picks from TV and movies. But first, your entertainment headlines. Elizabeth Hasselbeck is returning to The View. The conservative TV host and author will make her comeback on the morning talk show as a guest host starting August 3rd. Troy Kotsur has set his next post-Oscar project. Kotsur, who made history in March when he became the first deaf male actor and the second deaf performer overall to win an Oscar for his supporting turn in Coda, is set to star in and executive produce a Disney Plus series based on the football team from the California School for the Deaf Riverside. Kotsur will play the team's coach in the series, which is currently untitled. It's time to welcome a new Sestra to the club. Clone Club, that is. Kristen Ritter will be starring in the new Orphan Black spinoff, Orphan Black Echoes, which will debut in 2023. Ritter, who has starred in Marvel's Jessica Jones, Breaking Bad, Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, and HBO's upcoming Love and Death, will also serve as an executive producer on the series. Madonna knows exactly who she wants to direct her biopic, Madonna. And she has a very good reason why, explaining in an interview with Variety, quote, "I have a very long script that's really hard for me to make shorter. I've been whittling away at it, but it's like hacking off my limbs. I've had an extraordinary life. I must make an extraordinary film. It was also a preemptive strike because a lot of people were trying to make movies about me, mostly misogynistic men. So I put my foot in the door and said, no one's going to tell my story but me." As for who will play Madonna in the film, an official announcement has yet to be made, though rumors regarding Ozark actress Julia Garner's involvement swirled after Madonna followed her on Instagram. Amazon has decided not to go into The Wilds again. The series has been canceled by Prime Video after two seasons. Its second season premiered on May 6th and, most disappointingly, ended on a major cliffhanger with the show's groups of stranded teens, The Dawn of Eve and Twilight of Adam, corralled and stranded on a new island, and Gretchen on the run. Mary Alice, best known for her Emmy and Tony Award-winning work in the TV series I'll Fly Away and the original Broadway production of Fences, has died. She was 85. The actress died Wednesday in her home in New York City. A cause of death has not been revealed at this time. She worked as a teacher in Chicago during the mid-1960s before pivoting to acting. She went on to enjoy an impressive and long acting career, both on screen and on stage. Alice is best known for her roles as Letty Boston on NBC's Cosby Show spinoff A Different World, Effie Williams in the 1976 musical Sparkle, the Oracle in The Matrix Revolutions and video game Enter the Matrix, and Ellie Grant Hubbard on All My Children. Alice won the Emmy for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama in 1993 for her work as recurring character Marguerite Peck on I'll Fly Away, after having been nominated in the same category the year prior. Her many other TV appearances include L.A. Law, Cosby, Touched by an Angel, The Women of Brewster Place, Providence, Soul Food, and Oz. On the big screen, Alice appeared in many movies, including Malcolm X, The Bonfire of the Vanities, To Sleep with Anger, Awakenings, Sunshine State, and Down in the Delta. And Doctor Who cast member and beloved British entertainer Bernard Cribbins has died at the age of 93. The actor's many film credits include The Railway Children and the Alfred Hitchcock-directed Frenzy, as well as the classic sitcom Fawlty Towers. For more on all of these stories, plus other news, reviews, interviews, and more, head on over to EW.com. Riverdale's penultimate season is coming to an end, and it is this weekend's number 5 pick. After Archie and the gang took down Big Bad Percival in last week's episode, they're left with one last foe, a comet that is threatening to destroy all of Riverdale. With less than a day before the comet makes impact, will our heroes be able to win yet another epic battle? Well, according to showrunner Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, the comet will force everyone to think hard about their lives.
In a weird way, our penultimate episode, which was the final battle between Percival and our gang, that felt like a really big action-packed finale, like, for us. And I think we did that consciously so that in our last episode, we could kind of focus weirdly on more emotional stories and character stories and relationship stories. And the question we asked when we were breaking the story was like, okay, all of these characters we love, they have, you know, one last day to live. Mm-hmm. They have 12 hours. How are they going to spend those 12 hours?
I would be eating a lot of chocolate. But anyway, the result will be a finale that is somehow both calmer than most, and yet the stakes have never been higher.
It is, in a way, quieter, though the threat they're facing is apocalyptic. You know, a comet is going to destroy everyone, and there's a magical force field keeping everyone trapped in Riverdale. So it's outlandish, but it also somehow human, I think.
And if we know Riverdale, fans can also expect a last-minute cliffhanger. And this one will be particularly important as it takes us into the show's 7th and final season. The Riverdale finale airs Sunday on the CW. Neil Patrick Harris and Darren Star are getting consciously uncoupled with their new rom-com on Netflix. In our number 4 pick, Harris stars as 40-something realtor Michael Lawson, who thinks he has it all together until his partner of 17 years, played by Tuck Watkins, leaves him unexpectedly. At least, it was unexpected for Michael. Star, best known for Sex and the City and Emily in Paris, among a string of other hit shows, co-created Uncoupled with Modern Family EP Jeffrey Richman because, well, heartbreak is universal.
And so it became a show about this, you know, a character who thought that his life was all figured out, that he was with the person that, you know, that he was in his sort of forever relationship only to be blindsided, and find himself single again after 17 years, which we kind of felt was a story that a lot of, emotionally, a lot of people could relate to, gay or straight, because we wanted the show to feel very universal. We wanted it to be like a story about a human story that everybody could kind of, they would appeal to a very wide audience because everyone at a certain point has experienced, been on either side of a breakup.
Well, for Harris, choosing to work with Star and Richman was a no-brainer, but Uncoupled offered an opportunity to tell a story we've rarely seen before. A gay man in his 40s navigating newly single life in a way that's familiar as beloved rom-com tropes, pratfalls, and all abound.
We're in a very fortunate time, at least as actors, to be able to be in an Uncoupled, right? Because they wouldn't necessarily make a show like this 10 years ago, 5 years ago even, right? Yeah. The gay story was more the coming out story. It was younger mm-hmm. people who were struggling with their sexuality and what it means. And that story's been told and still gets told and is great. My God, Heartstopper.
Have you seen Heartstopper? Absolutely.
Oh, so great. God. I cried mm-hmm. so hard watching that lovely show. I loved it. But when you're dealing with people who are generations about that, often in the past, it's just been comedy tropes. And the purpose was that they were dried up and and wistful about a life that they don't get to live anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think this breaks that barrier down a little bit. I've never felt better in my own skin at 49 years old. I don't feel dusty at 50. I got a lot of life left to live. And a lot of other co-stars to hump.
Yeah.
Co-starring, among many others, Tisha Campbell and Marsha Gay Harden, the first season of Uncoupled is streaming now on Netflix. Singer-songwriter Rustin Kelly will be debuting his and Kate York's moving new song, What You're Here For, on the new episode of American Anthems tonight on TBS. Check your local listings for time. Kelly took a quick break from singing to answer a very important question for us. What you watching?
I've been watching a lot of the Detective Comics animated universe movies, like Justice League War, Justice League Apocalypse War, Batman versus Robin, Son of Batman, etc. Throne of Atlantis, very good. I think what I like about these is, like, I was a huge comic book kid growing up, and the movies, the animated movies that would accompany them, though they were really great, they kind of lacked, like, you know, the reality of that these would be very adult situations. For example, blood when you hit someone in the face really hard, or you're scared and of this, like, 10-foot tall sewer monster, you're not going to say, like, oh, darn, that's scary. So there's a lot of cursing and a lot of, like, adequate violence in the animated movies. And I think that they're so enjoyable as an adult because it's like, oh, I've always wanted to see that as a kid. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of that.
This DA definitely runs on Duncan. We are headed back to Boston for our next pick, the season premiere of City on a Hill. The Showtime series set in the 90s stars Kevin Bacon as corrupt FBI agent Jackie Rohr, who's trying to use Boston's criminal justice system to his advantage to regain the successful career he once had. But ADA DeCourcy Ward, played by Aldis Hodge, is onto him and will stop at nothing to make things right. Here's a preview.
Still my city, B. I
would have thought that era died when they snatched your badge.
My badge is at the bottom of the Boston Harbor.
You serious?
That's the bullet that killed JFK.
Plenty of days you and I put up with the corruption in this town. But there's got to be some mornings you just wake up and say, enough.
You up for taking on Goliath?
I'll get my slingshot.
Look at me. I'm doing a dirty job. Ignoring my boss's dirty secrets to make a ton of dirty money.
You're having to compromise yourself, and you're miserable about it.
The man I married is still the man you are.
At least I hope so.
You work for us.
We need to have a little chat. This might be loud. I could use your skills investigating Sinclair Dryden. A man so powerful and connected, he's got the district attorney carrying his water.
You're not gonna be someone bossing them. It's sin and vice.
I just want the law to work for us the way it's worked for them since the day they wrote the law.
These people, they've been bullies for so long they forgot how to be afraid.
Sometimes you go looking for ghosts, you end up finding demons.
No matter how far we go, we can't escape where we've been.
We give too much power to rich white men like Sinclair. Let's show him how impotent he really is.
You know, D, I think you might be my soulmate.
You and I, we are nothing alike.
Fair enough.
So, who will end up on top? Gotta tune in to find out. The season premiere of City on a Hill airs Sunday at 10 p.m. on Showtime. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. Our top two picks and soundbite of the week are coming up. What to Watch will be right back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to EW's What to Watch. One of the biggest highlights of last week's San Diego Comic-Con was Saturday's big Marvel panel, which included the debut of the trailer for Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. A powerful and sweeping visual, the trailer is 99% Music, a moving rendition of No Woman, No Cry, mixed with Kendrick Lamar's All Right, except for one brief moment when Wakanda Forever is whispered at the end, and this stirring speech featuring Angela Bassett as Ramonda, the Queen Mother of Wakanda. And it is our soundbite of the week.
I am queen of the most powerful nation in the world, and my entire family is gone. Have I not given everything?
What would you do if you could meet your future self? Would you even want to, given the chance? Those questions are far from hypothetical for the Paper Girls of Amazon Prime Video's latest comic book series and this weekend's number two pick. Here's a preview.
Hey! What's your name?
Aaron.
Tiff. So you're Mac, right?
So?
So you're the first paper boy around here. Who was it?
A boy? You must be the Brandman kid.
KJ.
My dad says you people own everything.
You people?
She's new.
All right, Big Mac. Let's go.
I'm not gonna, like, bite you or something.
What is that? Why does the sky look like that?
Move, move, move! Let's get out of here!
What are you doing in my house?
What are you doing in my house?
I live here.
No, I live here.
That's her. Holy shit.
Yeah, you can say that again. Paper Girls stars Sophia Rosinski as Mac Coyle, Cameron Jones as Tiffany Quilkin, Riley Leigh Nellett as Aaron Ting, and Fina Straza as KJ Brandman, as well as Ali Wong as the adult version of Aaron. See, we told you those time travel questions weren't hypothetical. Sophia, Cameron, Riley, and Fina stopped by EW's Comic-Con studio last weekend, and we got to hear whether they would want to meet their future selves. And let's just say Sophia's response has us glad that we have not yet perfected time travel.
Okay, so I think that I would do something to her. I wouldn't have a conversation with her. I would do something to her.
Like what?
Little things that I know will drive her nuts.
Oh, you're like your own villain.
Yeah. I'll maybe move something.
That sounds very deep.
Yeah, I think I've heard saying slowly, just little things. I'll stick around for a long, long time, and just she'll come into the room or something. She'll have set a pen down right here. I'll see her do it. Yeah. Go into the other room. I'll move it. Just a little bit, so she can see what's here, now it's here. Just want to see that little flicker of,
wow.
You know, this is classic Mac, by the way. This is something that Mac would do.
Yeah, let's just say if I ever met future Jared, I hope it would go much differently. All 8 episodes of Paper Girls are now streaming on Amazon Prime Video. It's trivia time. Time travel, like in Paper Girls, is, of course, a common device in TV shows and movies. So, in which of the following movies or shows has a main character interacted with an older version of themselves? Is it Stranger Things, X-Men Days of Future Past, or Back to the Future? That answer's coming right up. But first, eight are now 4 on our number one pick, the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, all winners. After last week's Maxi Challenge, winners received not one, but 3 legendary legend stars. That boosted Monet Exchange into the top spot, along with Shea Coulee. They will be in the Lip Sync Lollapalooza Smackdown with Jinx Monsoon and Trinity the Tuck, all competing for the $200,000 cash prize and title Queen of All Queens. But the other 4, the Vivian, Jada Essence Hall, Raja, and Evie Oddly, aren't done yet either. Those 4 will compete for $50,000 and named the Queen of
She's already the hair hers.
Just figured I'd let RuPaul take that. Anyway, here is a preview of the action as it picks up in the workroom.
My God, baby. Yes, she is a clutch player. Homegirl came in right at the perfect moment. Oh, baby, it is always a mistake to count Shea Coulee out.
Congratulations, top four.
Yes. Congrats on the top
Thank
four.
Thank you.
How does it feel to have the most stars out of everyone here?
Ultimately, what it does mean to me is that I am better than every single last one. Period. But I was like, not Rue putting me on the spot literally right now. I was like, girl, that's wild. But Jada, I love you. We have built a great friendship here this entire season.
But Trinity would have had four stars had she not been blocked.
And also, that's my Twitter, girl. Yeah, we've been through
like,
a lot.
I was like, I just can't believe you picked somebody you have history with for years over somebody you just met. That's crazy.
And we have the she done already done had hers is.
Oh my God.
A chance to win $50,000.
They are giving away $250,000 this season. That's madness.
It's nuts. And all we have to do is just lip sync like 18 times and then we've got it.
There's two crowns on the line, $250,000. This is the best hour of television you're gonna get all year.
Y'all are losing your mind.
I feel like a drunk cat.
Well, going into the finale, Shay had just one star, so mathematically it was impossible for her to advance. That is until Rue revealed three stars for each winner. Here is Shay with EW's Joey Nolfi on this week's episode of our Binge Podcast.
What did you think when you heard that the prize had increased to three stars? And what was, I guess, the general vibe amongst the rest of the cast in the room after Rue had made that announcement?
I honestly was like, ain't this about a bitch? Honestly, there was like this piece of me, look, this is my third time like going through the workroom. And, you know, there's always some little twists and some little shenanigans. And mm-hmm. it felt to me at that time, like I kind of chuckled because I literally felt like they had held off on those stars for certain challenges because they already knew that this twist was going to be happening at the end. And look, you know, in previous seasons, you know, I had, you know, racked up several challenge wins. And so, you know, like season 9, there was like four challenge wins there. Like, I feel like I had kind of like built up this brand, like, you know, Shay knows how to, you know, snatch up some challenge wins. And it's like, how do we give the fans something that they don't expect? Well, they won't expect Shay not, you know, getting these challenge wins. And I felt like literally they said, okay, yeah, and here are these three stars. And there was a moment for me that felt like a little bit, I'm gonna be completely honest, I felt a little bit frustrated by it because it almost feels like this very strange handout here at the end. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, me personally, I'm really hard on myself. And I want to feel like, you know, I'm like, because regardless, I know, and it has already happened. People question, they're like, well, you know, did she really deserve those like three stars? I like already knew that that discourse would happen. And I almost felt in the moment, I was just like, oh, here we go. Like, if I win these, then, you know, it almost feels like I won't be able to win because people who are fans of the other contestants are immediately going to try and discredit my win.
Well, naysayers be damned, because Shay is in the finale. See how the lip sync Lollapalooza goes down and who takes the crown. The RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars All Winners finale is streaming now on Paramount Plus, and be sure to check back to EW.com for full coverage and interviews with the queens.
Trivia.
And And finally today, the answer to our trivia question. A character from which of these shows and movies time traveled to the future and interacted with an older version of themselves? Is it Stranger Things, X-Men Days of Future Past, or Back to the Future? Maybe you had to claw through the options to figure this out. It's X-Men Days of Future Past. Old and young Professor Xavier meet and decide to not give up hope and fight to save mutants around the world. That is our show for today. We will have more news and must-see picks for you tomorrow, so be sure to follow or subscribe to What to Watch so you don't miss our daily recommendations, more of which can be found at EW.com. I'm Executive Editor Jared Hall. You can find us on Twitter at EW and at Jared Hall. Thanks for listening and have a great day. This episode of What to Watch was written by Callie Shepp, Sam Heifel, and Lester Brathwaite, edited by Lauren Klein, produced by Ashley Boucher, hosted and produced by Jared Hall, and executive produced by Chanel Johnson. What to Watch.